This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer, and reader, Mike Luoma. We're getting into more chapters from the Star Seeds of Earth as the story continues. Three chapters on the way today. When we left off last week, we'd left Alibi Jones heading to Egypt with Kit and Krish. Krish says he's found the location of a starseed. We'll find out more in our second chapter this week. We have three. In our first chapter, we're going to check in with the elder lovebirds, Anita Capituna and Billy Gentry. Then it's off to Egypt with Alibi. And in our third, we'll see what the Prime Rep is up to. It's a quick visit with Constantine. Will Alibi Jones actually get his hands on a starseed? He just might in this episode. And he is not going to give it to Finder if he does. Krish told him Finder showed up at the Hornet's Nest looking to kill Alibi. Thought he had already found a starseed and was keeping it from him. They have Finder locked up there at the Hornet's Nest now. Kit told Alibi there is an instantly active element to the starseeds, a short-term component, as well as the longer-term DNA-altering factor. If they find a starseed, Alibi will have to consider whether that's a route they'll need to go down to fight the Greater Ta. Kit thinks they might have to. Of course, until they find a starseed, that doesn't matter. So I hope you'll join the hunt, the search, for the starseeds of Earth. Three new chapters are on the way on Glow in the Dark Radio. I am looking for your ideas for Vatican Assassin's 15th anniversary. It's coming up in November. Wanted to know if you'd like to see a new edition of the book. You know, just a refreshed edition, new cover or whatever. Or maybe a rewrite or expanded version. An illustrated version, not a graphic novel, but with like a few pages of full-page illustrations. Maybe do a new BC short story. That's a possibility. It would be pre-Vatican Assassin. Pre the trilogy, you know? Like Christmas Present was. I put out the word among my patrons last week, so now I'm asking the bigger audience, what would you like to see for the 15th anniversary of the release of Vatican Assassin this coming November? You can become a patron and help support the podcast. My thanks and a welcome to new patron William, who just came on board. And thank you to Jim, who re-upped. That's always nice to see. You can join for $2, $5, or $10 a month. Get access to the Glow in the Dark Radio archives. There's free stuffs, exclusives, early releases. Matter of fact, patrons are getting this podcast episode, this episode, early. How about that? You can sign up at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. Up next, we're getting into Chapter 40 of the Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
What are you doing in the kitchen?
Writing a short story.
With a meat mallet?
Well, yeah. My characters are giving me trouble.
Well, then what about the cheese grater?
I have to make sure my plot points are evenly spread through the whole story, don't I? Oh, my action scene is done.
Wow, you got it perfectly browned.
350 degrees for 12 minutes. Perfect.
The Melting Podcast, a writing variety show featuring a little of everything
from everyone, everywhere. Short and flash fiction, author interviews, book reviews, and more. Come visit the Disaster Kitchen and cook up a story. Something's burning.
My dialogue!
Now here's Chapter 40 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Anita frowned. She was having trouble enjoying their late summer weekend getaway. You're thinking about him again, aren't you?
I can't help it, Bill. He's my son. Even if he's not in name.
He smiled at her across the dinner table.
I miss him, she said. And I miss the hornet's nest. When can we go back? I need to put more work in on my arboretum.
Soon, Gentry said. I need Constantine to cool down a little first. He doesn't like me going there. And he's still angry over other shit.
Your pushback?
My pushback, Gentry said, disdain in his voice, as he called it.
You had to say something, Anita said. It's getting ridiculous. They're everywhere.
I know. He rolled his eyes. Sorry, didn't mean to get loud. It's just it's frustrating. I used to be able to talk to Constantine. For some reason, now that I'm one of his governors, he's listening to me less.
I blame the Greater Ta, Anita said.
Well, sure, they're part of it, Gentry said. But Constantine is only as good as the people he surrounds himself with. I don't like the current bunch. When he first got into office, we could work with him.
Unlike his predecessors? Anita said, arching her eyebrow as she posed the loaded question.
One of them was impossible, Gentry said, playing along. Real queen bit.
Don't go there, or you're in the living room tonight, she said.
B, Gentry finished. I was going to say real queen bee. What did you think?
What do I think? I think you are a really bad lawyer, William Gentry, she said. And a giggle slipped out. She kind of hated he could get her giggling, and kind of loved it, too. He smiled.
I hope not, he said. I need Constantine to believe me. Constantine still thinks I'm watching you for him.
And you're not, right? Anita asked, checking in fun.
Nope, all this idiocy is on me, Gentry said. Got a thing for powerful, intelligent women, turns out.
And I like dangerous men, Anita said. We all have our weaknesses.
I love you, Nita, Gentry said.
I love you too, Bill.
If Constantine ever heard me say that, he'd want me dead, Gentry said.
Then let's be sure he doesn't, she said. She then looked around Gentry's luxury suite at the vacation villa, plush, well-appointed. It was fun stretching out and relaxing here by the ocean, far enough away from Depot's ports to be out from under the flight paths of the constant traffic. But she couldn't help but feel that some part of the peace and quiet was merely an illusion. There was an edge to the calm.
I'd feel better back at the Hornet's Nest, Bill, she said. Safer.
Okay, he said. I'll see about wrapping things up here. Talk up hitting the road for a trip through the Depot Reaches. Plant the seeds for leaving.
Good, she said. A thought struck her. She put down her fork.
I'll see you there, then.
What?
I'm going to head back tonight, she said.
Chapter 41. After a few hours on the ground, Alibi, Kit, and Krish had all grown better acquainted with Egypt,
and its unforgiving mid-August climate. Alibi was also growing tired of squinting. The bright sun and its glare off the desert sands made him squint even behind the shaded lenses he wore. Much like Mars, there was sand everywhere. Even so, he could, in part, ignore the squinting and the sand, but there was no denying the heat.
It is hellishly hot.
Alibi wasn't used to temperatures like this. No one seemed to like them. The ruins were nearly abandoned at this time of day, as the afternoon sun beat down on the necropolis. Alibi was surprised he hadn't melted or dried up and turned to ashes as they climbed massive sets of stairs. He drank more water as they took a breather and looked around them at the reminders of humankind's ancestry. The crumbling stones, buildings, steps and sculptures, the oldest roughly 4,000 years old. It wasn't just the sun.
The human race is funny. Here we have these massive monuments, tributes to human ingenuity and engineering from our distant past. But we're so fascinated by alien races, we're racing out to see their ruins, explore their past, while our own stands abandoned, or at least neglected.
Weird how there's no one out here, Alibi said. We could not do this if there were people around, Krish pointed out. True, their neglect is our good luck. Alibi walked ahead and found the hidden passage he was looking for. It was cut out from the stone stairs at an odd angle, playing a trick on the eye and obscuring the cutaway.
Here we go, he said to himself.
He turned back to Kit and Krish. Come on up, he said. It's inside, a hidden entranceway into one of the temples. Krish had brought along wands which he'd fitted with the tech that allowed them to scan for the bioenergy matrix signature of the ancient enemy. As he entered the hidden passage, Alibi's was lighting up.
Something, or someone, is definitely here.
Alibi followed the strengthening signal to an interior room of the complex. Long abandoned, the room had filled with sand piled against the walls, blown in through two small horizontal open windows set high above their heads. His wand pointed him towards a mound of sand, piled up against the right-hand wall.
Must be in the sand.
Alibi began to dig, throwing handfuls of sand off the pile as he tried to find the starseed. Kit entered the room.
It is under the dirt,
Kit asked. I think so, Alibi said. Kit walked up beside Alibi.
Hold on a moment, Alibi Jones,
Kit said.
We Darkor have a primitive digging ability, which will allow me to clear this pile much faster than you. Will you allow?
Alibi nodded. Sure.
You will want to get out of the way, Kit said. It can be a bit frenzied.
Oh, really? Alibi said.
Perhaps stand back in the corridor, Kit said.
He's not kidding. Krish arrived as Alibi retreated to the entryway. Alibi held him back. It's up ahead. Kit is going to dig it out. The cat-like Darkor appeared almost canine as he crouched and began flinging back clawfuls of sand. He shoveled dirt off the pile at an increasingly faster rate, a kind of fur buzzsaw, eventually revealing an ancient, human-scaled stone obelisk knocked over on its side on the stone floor. Alibi walked over, staring at the readings on his wand as Kit finished.
All lit up. That seals it.
Chris joined them. So, that's a starseed, he said.
It is, Alibi said.
Looks like a rock. A long, square rock, Chris said.
Squared, but more a rectangle, really, Alibi said. Alibi shined his light bar on the object to give Krish a better look.
And it's been here, Krish asked, the whole time.
Yep,
and no one noticed it.
Probably because it looked like a rock, Alibi said.
Looks like one of those Egyptian grave thingies, Krish said.
Alibi remained silent, but shined his light bar around them to make his point.
Ah, yes, Chris said. This used to be Egypt, didn't it?
Used to, still is to the locals, Alibi said, laughing.
To think, people actually lived here,
Kit said.
It does not look inviting.
They call this place Luxor, Chris said. Used to be Thebes.
They lived over there, Alibi nodded with his head back towards the bridges they'd walked across. Over where the temples are. Karnak and Luxor. This was the necropolis, their city of the dead.
No wonder it's spooky here, Chris observed.
That may have been a good thing, Alibi said. For us, I mean. There are a lot of obelisks knocked down and lying on the ground around here. This one wouldn't have stood out. And in the City of the Dead, no one would have disturbed it. At least not much.
How do you know this is your starseed? Chris asked.
Look at the readings, Alibi said. He held up his wand to show Chris the scan results.
Huh, Chris said. Well, it's either a starseed, or there are many members of the ancient enemy hiding in front of us in plain sight.
Yep. Alibi reached out to touch the rock. A flood of memories and knowledge flowed in, as something about the object triggered Alibi's latent mental abilities. He could see things, smell the scents of the past, spices, death, decay, and he just knew.
Alibi? Chris said. Are you okay?
I just got a burst of knowledge, Alibi said, when I touched it.
Ah, like that time you held the piece of the Eldred ship in my office and saw their outpost, Chris said. Remote viewing.
No, this was different, Alibi said. Something like that, but more, like a whole download of stuff. He pointed to the stone. I know its history now.
This is a starseed.
He knelt down next to it. This thing got moved around a lot, Alibi said. Originally, they called it the Seed of Osiris. But some old pharaoh decided it wasn't grand enough for Osiris. Replaced it with a larger obelisk made of granite.
They didn't know what they had, eh? Chris said.
Well, Alibi said, in all fairness, it doesn't look like much. And by then, they had no idea Osiris had been real. At least, not real like a human being. They had no clue he'd really existed. Never mind that this had been important to him.
Osiris was real, Chris asked.
Alibi nodded. Turns out, he was one of the ancient enemy, Alibi said. It's a long story. Chris looked around them. Shadows were deepening. Sunset approached.
That's fine, Chris said. It's getting late anyway.
He studied the rock again.
What are we going to do with it? Chris asked. It is bigger than I thought.
Gonna steal it, Alibi said. You still have the pack I gave you? You brought the anti-grav lifters. I've got a small cloaking device. Can I have the pack?
Of course, Chris said. He handed it to Alibi. You're not worried. This is highly illegal, after all.
Now? This from him now? You're worrying about that now, Alibi said. You brought me here, Chris. What did you think I would do? I don't think we can hang out here and study it. Besides, illegal to who? Nico Constantine? His Greater Ta overlords? I don't answer to them.
Alibi,
Chris started. He paused. He shook his head.
I guess I didn't think about... I didn't know it would look like this. Removing cultural artifacts, I don't like it. It feels very wrong.
Alibi looked down at the starseed, then away, his vision taking in the stones around them. He looked over at Kit. What do you think, Kit? Alibi asked.
There is truth in what Chris has said, but...
Kit glanced down at the starseed.
This was never theirs, he said. It is not from their culture.
Alibi looked back at Chris, eye to eye. He's right. Alibi said. This belonged to the ancient enemy. Like you said, these Egyptians never knew what they had.
They certainly appropriated it, though, didn't they? Chris observed. This was foundational. They made their own obels whatevers and put them everywhere, didn't they?
Guess they recognize the power of the design, Alibi said. He squatted down next to the starseed, even when they'd lost track of the original one. Hey, where's that pack?
Oh, Chris said. Here.
He handed the bag over to Alibi. You knew I was coming here to do this, Krish, Alibi said, accepting the pack.
I guess it's just... it is a little different. Now that we're here, but okay.
Alibi took out the four anti-grav lifters and mounted two on each side of the starseed, near the front and back, while Krish watched.
Would be nice to have a little help here, but I'm not going to push it. Don't know if I've convinced him anyway.
Anti-grav lifters in place, Alibi lifted the starseed with remote controls on his wand. He brought it up to float waist high in front of them.
Good lifters, Chris said.
Not as heavy as it looks, Alibi said. Still. But yeah, Alibi said, good lifters. He smiled at the old scientist.
Don't try so hard to charm me, young man, Chris chastised him. I'm already with you. You and Kit made a good case. This isn't theirs.
Alibi started to answer, but Krish cut him off.
It isn't ours, either.
It will be, Alibi said. Soon, anyway.
Only in our possession, Krish noted.
Alibi slouched the pack off his back and opened it to retrieve the cloaking device.
The Bender!
Krish exclaimed, as Alibi took the thing out of his pack. Bender? Alibi wasn't sure he'd heard him right.
A light bender, Krish explained. Another fine product of the project, I'll have you know.
Doesn't surprise me, Alibi said. I'm kind of surprised you're surprised. You okay?
Oh, no.
Why?
I got it from your cabin, Alibi said, after you told me about it. But then you called it a cloaking device.
Oh,
Krish said. He looked genuinely puzzled. Then he cleared.
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten, Alibi. Senior moment.
He didn't look happy about it.
That can't be good.
Don't look at me that way, Alibi, Krish protested. I'm fine. I just forgot. For a moment.
A senior moment. Yeah, I heard you, Alibi said. Why don't you have the med unit give you a checkup when we get back to the nest, huh?
Is that an order, Alibi?
Does it have to be?
No, Krish said.
He hung his head.
I'll do it.
Thanks. Alibi let the subject drop. He went back to work on the starseed, clamping the cloaking device, the bender, onto the top of the floating stone. Then he powered it up. The air around the starseed flowed and rippled as if heated, until only a shimmer was left. The stone was gone. The bender works pretty well, Alibi said.
Now you sound surprised, Chris said. Why?
I don't know, Alibi said. Maybe the name. Didn't sound like it would work.
It's built off my nullifier tech. Of course it works, Chris said, proud. Although, I didn't name this one, so no offense taken.
I'm so glad.
Was that sarcasm?
Don't take offense, Alibi said. He smiled. Let's go. Help me move this.
Chapter 42.
How do I look?
Superb, as always, Spears said. But I'm no fashion critic.
Nico Constantine checked himself out in the full-length mirror wall.
You're my propaganda and PR man, Justin, Constantine said. One of my closest advisors, media says. And since you feed them what to say, it must be true, eh? So tell me, you think this looks both dressy enough and humble enough for my meeting with the Tsar?
Again, you look superb, sir, Spears said. You look fine for your meeting, from a human PR standpoint. Your dress is not submissive, but respectful. A balance well struck. You do not appear to be cowering, yet your dress offers no hint of aggression either.
Thank you, Constantine joked.
You're welcome, Spears said.
I don't know how the Greater Tsar will receive you, however. I don't want to give you false confidence, sir.
Don't bring me down, Justin, Constantine said. Not now.
Sorry, sir.
How long is it? Until they come.
You have another hour, sir.
Constantine stared into his own eyes in the mirror.
There it is. Face the man who sold out humanity.
You're too hard on yourself, sir.
They'll be harder on me when they write the histories of this, Constantine said. You can bet on it.
But you're saving humanity, sir.
Constantine smiled.
Sure I am, he said. I sure am, aren't I?
Sure you are, Spears said. Sir.
You're no help with my wardrobe, Constantine said. So why are you here, Justin?
Has to do with Alibi Jones.
With you, it usually does, doesn't it? Constantine said. What is it this time?
We've received word he's here, on Earth, again.
Constantine didn't need to know Jones had just escaped Spears' people on the moon. He'd not wanted to reveal Jones's previous excursion at the time, but felt forced to now.
Again? Why wasn't I informed before now?
We just found out about the last time, and that he's here now. I need your permission for extraction. He's in a high population area.
On Earth? Constantine asked.
Yes.
What are you worried about? Collateral damage?
Of course.
Don't. We'll blame it on him. He's got the balls to come here? Thinks he can sneak in right under my nose? Fuck him. I want him dead or alive, and I want him yesterday. Got it? You hear me?
Loud and clear, sir.
That was Chapter 42 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Constantine and his man Justin Spears are out to make sure Alibi Jones doesn't leave Earth with his starseed. So Alibi has one, but join us next episode to find out if Alibi escapes Constantine's thugs and gets away with his starseed. Will he make it home to the Hornet's Nest to see his Aunt Anita? Also on her way back, as we found out. That is a little bit of a cliffhanger ending this week. So I hope you'll come on back and join us next week. Or you can get the audiobook. The Starseeds of Earth is out right now. The audiobook available at Audible, Google Play, pretty much anywhere fine audiobooks are found. Get all the details at glowinthedarkradio.com. Or MikeLuoma.com. That's MikeLuoma.com. Want to invite you to become a patron of the podcast if you'd like to help support what we're doing here, what I'm doing here. It's $2, $5, or $10 a month to become a member, to become a supporter, a patron. If you want to do that and find out all about the benefits involved, just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And once again, I'm looking for your ideas for Vatican Assassin's 15th anniversary. What would you like to see? Reach out and let me know. You can do that on social media, facebook.com/MikeLuoma, twitter.com/MikeLuoma, or on Instagram, glowinthedarkradio, or glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com if you want to send an email. Or just stop by the website. Lots of ways to get in touch. That is all for this time around. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Acompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook, wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.